When Sue Andrews asked me several months ago if I had anything to say on the topic of humility, I thought, sure, I've had my fair share of humiliating experiences. I can certainly recall any myriad of embarrassing moments and talk about how they made me a better, more humble person. Well, much to my relief and likely to your disappointment, it turns out I won't be sharing any of my embarrassing moments with you here today. Because that's not actually what we're talking about. Which for me at 43 is actually a humbling realization. How can it be that I, who hold a BS in communications, do not really have a clear understanding of humility? Well, humility has gotten a lot of bad press in modern times. It should really consider giving the old heave-ho to its PR firm. As we've heard today, the word originates from humus, referring to the nutrient-dense soil that sustains life. And as Lois said, it shares its roots word with the word humanity. Taken literally, to be humble can mean to be aware of our genesis, the earth. It is a part of us, and we are a part of it, connected to all beings, not separate. Taken figuratively, humility grounds us, gives us perspective. To be humble is to understand our place in our universe in relationship to all others, gives us a sense of where we sit and how we all fit in the grand scheme of life. What a beautiful concept. Why then is humility such an ugly word in our culture? Why is it synonymous with low self-esteem, meekness, submissiveness? Well, I'm no historian, but the short answer goes something like this. Humility is a virtue. A humble way of life was once the way to submit oneself to God. But by the 18th and 19th centuries, influential minds such as David Hume, who dismissed humility as a monkish virtue not suited for the common man, and Friedrich Nietzsche referred to humility, kindness, and sympathy, for that matter, as a slave morality. Charles Dickens didn't help matters when he came out with Uriah Heep, an insincere antagonist who repeatedly called himself a humble man in David Copperfield. Fast forward to the 20th century. There was the post-war mindset of American superiority that flew in the face of humility. Then the me generation, who favored self-love, self-discovery, self-improvement in favor of servitude or right relationship with others. And now the digital age enables us to do more faster. And we take off running, doing more faster. Climbing over one another to be more, to have more. You can begin to see how the meaning of humility has become distorted, how reverence for it has been lost. It is time to remember what humility is really about. Reverend Susan Frederick Gray says, "It is a call to honor the humanity and dignity of ourselves, of others, and of the earth and all its creatures." Sound familiar? Let me say it another way. It is a call to honor the inherent worth and dignity of every person. It is to respect the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. So for you keeping score, it's first and seventh principle of UUism. And UUs are a humble kind of people, but humility is a really fine line to walk. Sure, we can stand to be reminded that we are of the earth, ordinary, interdependent. But unlike any synonym for the word humble that a quick web search will yield, it does not mean to be quiet. It does not mean to be submissive or lowly. Regardless of today's common understanding of humility, we must remember that being humble does not mean we aren't a great and powerful people. It means we are divine, yet infinitesimal beings in the universe. Joan Chittister is an author and international speaker of subjects on peace, spirituality, and justice for all. She writes, "If the preservation of the globe in the 21st century requires anything of the past, it may well be the commitment of the rule of Benedict to humility." Benedict's world, she says, was much like ours, a disintegrating empire where the benefits of Roman civilization were being lost to inequality, poverty, and social chaos. Saint Benedict responded by calling for privileged Roman citizens to live more humbly. In the chaotic times of about 500 AD, he wrote the Rules of Saint Benedict. It was a book of precepts for communal living that was specific to monks. The rule provides a moderate path between individual zeal and formulaic institutionalism. And it has been the way of Benedictines for over 15 centuries. Chittister's claim does seem urgent in our world today. She says the reality of climate change, with its almost certain human cause, is a case in point. Our overuse of the Earth's resources is endangering our very survival. Hubris, excessive pride, prevents us from acknowledging our limits. Chittister also says, our elevation of the individual at the expense of the relational, our adulation of the markets, and our belief in unlimited economic growth have eroded any commitment to sustainable living for all that may have once existed. The confident rejection of God by new atheists and the overconfidence of religious fundamentalists is another example of hubris. Arrogant certainty regarding the non-existence of God or of knowing the mind of God endanger our common life, closing our minds to possibilities and at times even justifying violence toward each other. In this context, the possibility of a return to humility, carefully understood, might contribute to the reordering of our relationships with the earth, with ourselves, with each other. The 12 degrees of humility, as written in Saint Benedict's rule, is a path to a stronger sense of our place in the universe of wonders. Bear with me here, okay? The first step to a spiritual life depends on the realization that we live in the womb of God, that we need to admit our struggles and accept the inconsequential circumstances of life with equanimity, and to cultivate the kind of internal peace that leads us to live gently with the rest of creation, to tread lightly through the universe, and deal tenderly with both ourselves and others. All right, so if I may be so bold, I'd like to submit that we might rightly think of the womb of God as a place of connection to the earth and others and a God of our choosing, as I've heard Reverend Amy Shaw so eloquently put it. The part that stops me in my tracks is this: live gently, tread lightly, deal tenderly with both ourselves and others. That's what I want. That's the kind of world I want to live in. But how do we do this in a culture that just might have us for lunch if we tread too lightly or interact with others too tenderly? How do we do this if going to live as a monk isn't really an option? Perhaps these words from a Jewish sage are helpful. Keep two truths in separate pockets always, and take them out as needed. In the first, for my sake, the world was created. And in the second, I am but ashes and dust. Blaise Pascal said something similar. We show greatness not by being at one extreme, but by touching both at once and occupying all the space in between. I think our work toward humility is to cultivate all the space between individual zeal and institutionalism, between boldness and modesty, discernment and empathy, assertiveness and a keen ear, between productivity and preservation, independence and interdependence, all while respecting each divine, infinitesimal being that makes up our universe of wonders. I've asked Sue to read a poem for us by Benedictine Mary Lou Kaunacki. I think she's onto something here.
I bow to the one who signs the cross. I bow to the one who sits with the Buddha. I bow to the one who wails at the wall. I bow to the Om flowing in the Ganges. I bow to the one who faces Mecca, whose forehead touches holy ground. I bow to dervishes whirling in mystic wind. I bow to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. I bow to the God within each heart. I bow to epiphany, to God's face revealed. I bow.
And I bow to the one whose skin is dark, and to the one whose skin is light, and to those who are scarred or wrinkled or pierced or tattooed. I bow to the one whose sexual orientation is non-binary. I bow to the poor, the addicts, and those whose lives have just gotten off track. I bow to single moms and deadbeat dads and foster parents. I bow to the young. I bow to the old and to the sick and the disabled. I bow to those whose views are different than my own and to those who challenge me. I bow to the earth and to its creatures. For they are me, and I am them. Peace.